Chicago's sports conversation is now.
You know, we've been playing a little bit better as of late. For the first quarter, I think probably not the start we wanted, but things are turning in the right direction, hopefully.
I expect it to be fun. I want it to be fun. I want it to be rewarding. I want them to feel like they've accomplished something special.
The Beat.
Hindsight's always 20/20. That's pretty much known.
Pastrnak got free, and he busts it over the blue line and sizzles in a wrister short side. 4-3 Bruins.
On 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, 720 WGN. You're thinking to yourself, why in the world is Northwestern football not on and these two clowns are? Hi, Harry. How are you?
Clownish.
I just called you a clown. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize.
Funny like a clown.
Great movie. Love Goodfellas. But we got Blackhawks hockey tonight at 5:30 to make that a short.
Dun, 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 dun.
Little Florida Panther after a Tampa Bay Lightning.
Who's your favorite Florida Panther of all time?
My favorite Florida Panther, Brian Campbell.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
I got to keep it simple here. Come on. And that's you got to love a soupy. Who's your favorite Florida Panther, Harry?
Oh, there's so many. Maybe Beezer, John Van Beesbrook.
Oh, wasn't he a Ranger?
He was a Ranger.
There you go. See? My hockey knowledge is endless here.
Strong.
It's very, very strong.
Yager, of course, recently.
I always feel like at the start of the show, I got to like let people know what you're wearing. Is that a Loyola Ramblers high school football jersey?
Ramble on.
Why? What are you going with the Ramble?
Why? You know, maybe your life started at 17, but there's a bunch of college and a bunch of pro games going on this weekend. Yet there's also something we call the IHSA.
Hey, no, I'm aware. Did you go to Loyola? You didn't go to Loyola.
No, my dear friend.
You're a new Church Trevian.
My brother from another mother is the head football coach at Loyola, and he should be coaching Illinois.
Oh, you talked about that before.
Right, John Hollisek.
John Hollisek. My bad. All right.
So they're in the state championship game for the third consecutive year, okay. Like the Cubs. But they'll win.
Loyola is better than the Cubs.
They might be. I know the cars in the parking lot at Loyola are nicer than the cars in the parking lot or in the players' parking lot at Wrigley.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. When Loyola played New Trier, you should have seen that parking lot.
I believe it. So if you do want to be, if you want to turn us off, which it would hurt our feelings and we would feel terrible, but if you want to hear Northwestern football and you don't mean anything by it, we understand. They're on AM 890.
WLS.
If you're looking for the game. 14-7 Cats. 7:03 to go in the second quarter. We'll keep you up to date on any scoring, as it really should be 21-0 Northwestern.
Dave Hennett and Ted Albrecht, and of course Adam Hoge works the sidelines.
Right, and I've had a traumatic Thanksgiving. It's great to see you, Harry. Not to, you know, you always move forward in life. No big deal. But I did leave Thanksgiving dinner, and I've been on some overnights, so I'm thinking that maybe we have a couple of new listeners right now, and I wanted to get your support as well. But I had my Thanksgiving dinner. I went to get some gas in the suburbs. I went into the gas station to get a Reese's peanut butter cup a la you, or some tea, or go to the bathroom, or all three. And as my car was filling up, some gentleman decided that, you know what, that looks like a sweet Honda Accord. I'm going to take it, and they did. Four gentlemen left me three lighters, an Arizona iced tea, a massively totaled car or massively wrecked car that may or may not be totaled. I'll find out this week, and a massive headache. But that's going. Right. I'm getting over it.
Okay. First of all, I'm sorry.
My car was
stolen,
Harry.
Yeah, I'm sorry you were
on
violated.
Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry you were violated.
Thank you.
You were insured.
I was. I am.
Okay, then I can make fun of this. How do you leave your car when it's filling up?
Who doesn't leave their car when it's filling up?
Everybody. You fill your car up and you lock it, and then you go and you buy your Reese's peanut butter cup and your Arizona iced tea.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Well, you know that's all true. Are you saying you never do that? Really?
I never do it.
Never once.
No. Because I still haven't figured out how to, like, you know, get the cap in there to keep the, you know, gas pouring on its own. No, I wouldn't do that. That's insane. And I'm surprised Highland Park has a big crime rate there.
Well, right. It's tough, rough and tumble HP.
Yeah. You know, I was in a street gang in Glencoe growing up, Jewish street gang, the Al Rubens.
Well, that's a tough.
Yeah.
The vehicle did not end up in Highland Park. The vehicle ended up in the city of Chicago. These were not Highland Park people.
And did they find any drugs in the vehicle?
They didn't find any, but my car, you could, if you went to the body shop right now where my car is, you could still get high by going into my car.
I'll get you an address?
No, that's old Harry. Right, that's not new Harry.
Right.
Come on, man. So I don't have a phone.
You got your phone, too?
I got no phone. I'm getting...
Oh, Carm, what are you, a rookie? Your phone's in your pocket, and your car is locked, and then you go into the convenience store.
This is why I just keep my mouth shut, because, you know, you look for support from your friends, and now you're...
I'm supporting you.
You are.
But you want me to pretend like nothing is wrong?
No, you're giving me the harsh feedback. I get it. Listen, I deserve...
That's not harsh feedback. Harsh feedback is you've got an incredible girl that wants to be with you forever, and you refuse to pop the question. Oh. That's harsh feedback.
Now we're going, like, way left turn.
Right. But here's the point. If you're at a gas station, whether it's a nice neighborhood like Highland Park, or if it's, you know, a high crime area, I would think that you wouldn't just leave it willy-nilly, you know, sitting there.
Right. Did you put a big sign up?
Hey, my phone's in here.
It's fair to think that in a two-minute time span, somebody would just be lurking in a gas station. I guess that's the world we live in. I get it. I get it now. Believe me, I do. Things will have to change. I will not be able to be willy-nilly. You cannot trust society. Everyone's a danger point. You go get gas. There just might be somebody lurking there who's going to jump in and steal your car. That's brutal, but I get it. That's true.
Did you talk to your insurance guy or girl? How soon till the new car?
We are in the preliminary stages here, pal.
Preliminary stages?
Yes.
No. It should be within the hour. They should say, hey, well, your check there, is there, on the there, way. There, do you have a loaner?
How
do you not have a loaner?
See, now you're asking all these questions that I should have detailed this before the show, right?
Dan Long, executive producer, these aren't like bizarre questions. Aren't these like the simple questions that would get asked when your friend says, I got my car stolen?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything over the line. I mean, we've had this discussion early Friday morning, and I have since changed a couple of my habits. So I think it was a wake-up call for everyone.
312-981-7200. I see people want to talk about this. We can do that. Sam Smith's going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. Yeah. We're going to talk about Derrick Rose not wanting to play basketball anymore, perhaps. I love Derrick Rose. I hope he changes his mind. But
he doesn't want to play basketball. He doesn't want to be in the basketball world and not be able to play because of injury. He'd love to play basketball, but he can't play hurt.
I understand. You know, he's tired of the fact that his body is breaking down, and he's considering...
Right. Did the cops catch the guy who stole your car?
They caught one of the gentlemen.
And there's how many?
There were four in the car.
And this one guy hasn't turned in the other three?
Not that I know of, no. He's got a court date coming up in December. I plan on being there.
Because Chicago cops are awesome. They're gonna get this guy to turn on the other three.
None of that.
Don't you watch Law & Order?
Does any of that really matter to me?
Yeah, it's your car. Don't you feel like you want some justice?
Yes and no. I mean, these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. I think that there's got to be a lesson learned here and repercussions. But it's not going to make me sleep better at night that guy's in jail. That's not going to do anything for me. I got to look in the mirror and be like, yo, moron, don't do that again.
Was there anything like of value in the car besides your phone? Anything like sentimental value?
No, nothing of value. It's the entire car. But, I mean, it's amazing.
No, but I mean, like did you have like bootleg CDs you'll never see again? Yeah, I mean,
Well, now you're getting there.
Your tennis racket was in the trunk.
My tennis rackets were in the trunk. Shockingly, they did not take my tennis racket. I was worried about that. We got a match Monday night. So those are there. Thank you for reminding me that there's a win here. And most importantly, yes, Richard, my stuffed animal, Arnold the Duck, is indeed safe. Thank you for remembering my stuffed duck. What's up there, Richard? Welcome to WGN. Hey, hang on there, Richard. They don't use the phones on the other show. I don't know why. Richard, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Are you feeling better?
I am, Richard. I am. Well, All right.
That's good. Well, two things. Nobody ever leaves their car running like that anywhere, but I'm not going to berate that thing. That's a horrible thing that happened. I'm glad you're okay. The thing is, the duck, 20 years ago, I was repossessing cars with some rogues, and we found some NASCAR stuffed animals. So I have a little Bobby Labonte that sits on top of my radio.
That's awesome.
And, man, your story, I was a little scared for you when I was going to sleep the other night. So I decided to bring my little stuffed Bobby Labonte with me everywhere.
You got the Bobby Labonte? That's amazing.
Yeah, he's a little NASCAR guy. When me and my rogue friends were repossessing cars 20 years ago, we each got one. And I would ride around with this thing in my pocket, and it would diffuse situations. It would change the subject when I needed it to. And after I heard about the duck, I decided to bring Bobby along in my new car. So I'm glad you're okay.
Richard, I appreciate you and glad that I've been able to, in some weird way, contribute to your life.
Don't do that.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
Bye.
You. So
we want to help Carm get through this period. He was violated. His car was stolen because he left the keys in it while he was filling up in Highland Park after Thanksgiving dinner. If you can help Carm get through this,
well,
please.
And if people don't know who Arnold the Duck is, he's my stuffed animal that I've had since I was young, and I've been carrying him around lately. And he was in the car, and I, you know, he was hanging out in the back seat. And Arnold went for a ride, and Arnold now doesn't smell the same, although he did get a bath today. I bathed the stuffed animal today, Harry.
There are so many issues. I mean, too bad it's Big Sports Day, Carm, because I would like to get, like, who's your doctor friend that helps with sports psychology?
Dr. Bob Wright?
But this would be a good day for Dr. Bob to talk you through this time in your life.
Well, Dr. Bob's on pilgrimage right now in Vietnam, but when he gets back, we'll have him on the show.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
A little late for Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here, one more real quick, then we'll break. Catherine, you're telling me I need street smarts? Okay. Thanks, Catherine. That's the way that goes. No problem. I get it. I do. A little more street smarts. I have street smarts. I just didn't at that moment.
Our car was stolen once. My family car was stolen once.
It was?
Yes. We, from Sportsman's Park, the old racetrack, where, you know, Hawthorne Racecourse, located in Cicero, or do you say Stickney, used to be next to another racetrack, Sportsman's Park. And the Bidwell family made it into a car racing track, and they had the Target Grand Prix out there. And then that didn't go well, and now Rocky Wirtz has, like, Wirtz Beverage out there, and it's, you know, very successful, of course, the Wirtz Brewing. But we came out, we were, like, in school. My family outings were often to the racetrack. We came out, and the car had been stolen. And
did you get it back?
They found it later that night with, like,
same thing,
with like 20 pounds of cocaine in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they caught all the guys.
Wow. Well, that wasn't going on. I just had some low-grade marijuana being consumed.
Who are you to turn your nose up on low-grade marijuana?
Very good point. Very good
point. There's people right now, Carm, in states where it's legal, that would scoff at the notion that it's low grade.
Maybe so. Maybe so. All right, we're moving on. Thank you for the support, kind of, sort of.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. Look, nobody got hurt.
No,
it's a car. It's an object.
It's all good. It's all good. Right. I feel wholesome.
You should have a loaner.
We're working on that. All right. We're going to have Sam Smith from talk a little Derrick Rose coming up at 4:30. There's stuff going on in college football today that we should mention. Huge games, huge implications, and interesting hires. 720 WGN. I love the text line right now. 312. My car getting stolen. I'm so sorry, but are you kidding me? Never, ever leave your car running. Oh, my God. Total rookie mistake. Let's see here. Mary, I love your support. And this is good, Harry, right? Carm, listen to this story Friday morning on my way to work. Now hearing it again on my way home from work. I work crazy hours. Stop this. But here, I'm skipping through this, but basically this dude always goes to the gas station, always leaves his car running, but now is not doing the same thing. He is
good. There's a lesson learned.
Quote, you are my teacher. Love the show. 847. I'm here for you, baby.
Love that.
We're all growing. 14-7 Northwestern in Illinois. They're at the half. You can hear the game on AM 890 if you so choose. We're here till 5:30 with the Hawks and the Florida Panthers. And coming up after 4:30, we're going to talk to Sam Smith, a little Derrick Rose, Harry, and what's going on with D. Rose. What do you think is going on with D. Rose?
I think that, you know, the word is he left the Cavs because he's frustrated that he can't stay healthy and he might want to leave basketball. Now, I'm a fan, and I'm frustrated with D. Rose being so fragile, and I can only imagine how frustrated it must be being D. Rose.
Well, Sam knows him incredibly well, and you know, covered him when he was here, still has relationships with him. I have my own theory, which I'll get into with Sam, which might not be completely fair, but I'm just trying to see what could be going on with Derek. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. I don't know. But I'm rooting for Derek. I've always rooted for Derek. Chicagoan, youngest MVP in the history of the NBA, and representing the city as well as he possibly could until he got hurt. And people just, for whatever reason, everyone wants to think they're stronger than Derek. Stronger, tougher, mentally, whatever, than Derek Rose. Yet, he's accomplished more in his life than basically all of us.
Came out of Englewood, one of the, toughest crime neighborhoods in the country, and 1 year at Memphis, where he maybe could have won the national championship, except for the Kansas Jayhawks refused to lose.
Should have made a free throw.
Well, Calipari, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. Great text with the 773 here. Back to the car. Take your frustration out in your match on Monday. Go for the W. At least you have your rackets. Rackets are a pain to replace unless they are the newest model. You're absolutely right. And I have my rackets that I can go for the win.
So here's what happened is there were four 18-year-olds, and they opened the trunk to see what you had of value. And they saw the tennis racket. They're like, what is that? I don't know. What is that? I don't know.
Yep, and they left it. God bless them. All right, news is next, then Sam Smith, 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Sam Smith, you know him, you love him. Bulls.com, of course, the Tribune back in the day, and the Jordan Rules, and his new book, Hard Labor, which your life will be a lot better if you pick up Hard Labor and learn about the history of the NBA. But, Sam, first off, congrats on the book, and thanks for joining us again. We're here to talk Derrick Rose, who is weighing his future again. What do you think's going on in the mind of Derrick Rose right now, Sam? What's your guess?
Well, I really think, and I know it's probably, something characterized sort of as a sad story and all, but, I think this guy has just been through so much, physical debilitation. And, from what I heard, it's more serious than a sprained ankle, what he's got. I think it's, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that needs surgery again, maybe not immediately. But, somebody who's been through so many surgeries, and I think the point is, we saw him a couple of times. I saw him in preseason and in early season. And he was really upbeat. He'd worked really hard over the summer. And that's the thing I don't think people appreciate with Rose sometimes. I mean, he really does work to get back physically. And it's a lonely sort of business, this rehab and retraining your body each time. And I think, at some point, you just reach a point where, you just physically can't go on. And you don't want to be, I understand, Kobe Bryant or Dwayne Wade, even Michael Jordan, not able to give it up, and, Joe Namath, whatever the case is. And, on some level, and I don't know what Derek's going to do, but if he did walk away, I think part of it would be like, I just can't do, play basketball at the level I expect to play basketball at. And, I could, rather than hanging on, he can make money for another couple of years. He's got contracts and, but rather than be 50% of what he was, I wouldn't be totally surprised if he said, with all this medical stuff, having to go through it again, limiting the way I can play, he might just say, he's not a kid anymore. He's been around the NBA a decade and, like we've seen, nobody has missed, so many games and, sort of a combination of not being able to perform at the level he was at. I think it's just difficult. And I think he's probably trying to figure out what's best for him going forward.
For those not familiar with the story, D. Rose, the news broke late yesterday, who has not played in a game since November 7th, is taking time away from the Cavs to consider his future. He's very frustrated, and I'm a fan. I've been frustrated, so he's been frustrated. Sam Smith, NBA expert hanging out with At the Carm and me, Harry, on WGN The Beat. Sam, you know, he made comments in 2014 that if you see him take a game off, if you see him not, you know, playing every single game in the season, he doesn't want to be limping at his son's graduation. This is, you know, 16 years before his son is going to graduate. Has D. Rose been misunderstood by Bulls fans?
Yeah, I think tremendously. I think the vitriol directed at Rose has been probably as bad as anything I've seen in as long as I've been in Chicago, you know, sports. So, I don't know, 40 years, almost 40 years. Sort of the pettiness and meanness. He is essentially being condemned, I've felt a long time, for a lack of articulation. We all knew what Derek, you know, maybe we didn't all know because he was criticized. But, you know, how many times have you heard athletes say that very thing? Now, I don't know that he meant it in the terms of football players what we see now. But if you hear a football player saying now, I want to be able to walk or think at my child's graduation, you nod your head and say, exactly right, you know, CTE, you know, all the things we've since found out that they're vulnerable to because of what they're experiencing when they're 26 or 27, you know. So, you know, I think Derek was merely saying what players say in a more articulate way over the years that, you know, I want to be able to walk. You know, Sandy Koufax, you know, was the guy in my youth, great pitcher with the Dodgers. You know, at 30 years old, he walked away from the game and said, you know, my elbow's arthritic. I mean, he just won 27 games. But he said, you know, I don't want to have the rest of my life with my arm hanging and I can't, you know, and you see him now, he looks in great shape still. So I just don't, I think Derek has been victimized over the years for an inability to say things like we want to hear them. But I've heard those same athletic cliches from hundreds of guys over the years and, you know, not being interpreted the way Derek said it. I mean, to me, judge somebody by their actions. You know, here's a guy who even, you know, however that was interpreted, you know, has come back again from, you know, multiple surgeries and surgeries again. And, you know, rehab's a tremendously lonely thing, and he spends all summer doing it each time. Now you'd say, okay, well, he makes millions of dollars, I would do it, you know, but you say that about every athlete. But he's continued to do that. So the notion of that he was going to sort of pace himself, you know, so he could, you know, walk down the aisle or whatever. And it's clear he didn't mean that, but, you know, once somebody becomes a punching bag, it's easier to pile on.
Let me say two things about Derrick Rose. Number one, for whatever reason, everyone in this city wants to act like they're tougher than Derrick Rose, even though he took himself from one of the worst neighborhoods in the city to the...
In the country.
In the country to the youngest MVP in the history of the NBA, and he is elite in his field and has made more money than 99.999% of us and is more skilled in his field than 99.999%. But we all want to say we're tougher than Derrick Rose, so that bothers me. On the other side, Sam... And not understanding, and let me just take a shot here. If he was on a team where he knew he'd be getting minutes and Isaiah Thomas wasn't coming back and Dwayne Wade wasn't running the second team as the point guard, like if he knew he was going to play, I think maybe we're not getting the same narrative here. But he's in a situation where he very well may be the ninth, tenth guy, and I don't think he can sit with that. If he actually was on the court on a bad team, I think he might still come back.
You know, Mark, I've got a lot of regard for you, but you couldn't be more wrong on that.
Yeah,
you sure?
More misinformed. Now, it helps me a little bit because I do speak with Derek, so I actually have actual information as opposed to radio information.
That's why you're on the show,
Sam. Radio information.
Good shot. I like it.
You know, the other part about that is Derek was embracing, you know, we talked to him and like I said earlier in the season a couple of times, and I've talked to him some since. But he was embracing that situation, you know, with the Cavs. In fact, I remember Casey Johnson and I were talking to him before the game, one of the games we're back, and he was saying, you know, stuff was going on. And he said, look how great this is. He said, you know, stuff happens, and they all run over to LeBron and ask him what the problem is. And he said, I can get out there and I can, you know, I can give my all for 15 or 20 minutes and, you know, get play at my level and then get out. He was excited about Isaiah coming back. He really had no problem with that. He was so anxious. I know, again, it's misinterpreted, but he had so much difficulty being with teams that weren't successful. If you know Derek's career, you know, back at Simeon, you know, what, he got 2 points in his championship game? Because winning is just really what mattered to him. And, you know, I remember my favorite line, you know, when they were giving him trouble about, well, you didn't recruit LeBron, or you didn't do this, or, you know, go for that free agent. He said, I'm good with Keith Bogan. So, you know, I mean, the point was, they're winning 62 games. He was having a ball because they were successful, and he's not saying, I need help. He's saying, hey, Keith Bogans can't make a shit, you know, he's averaging 4 points. I'm fine. We're winning 60 games. But then the Bulls missed the playoffs. The Knicks missed the Knicks are lousy. And then he says, you know, when we're there, he says, how great is this back to get back? I can be back in the finals. You know, not back in the finals, but I can finally get to the finals. I could be deep into the playoffs. He said, this team is deep. He was thrilled about the fact that he was just going to be able to be part of a winning situation again. So while it's a great theory, it's completely wrong.
Okay. I'm more than willing to hear it, and I'm glad that I'm being set straighter, because listen, I'm a Derrick Rose fan from day one to day right now,
I can see why you would say that. I mean, it's a good conspiracy, you know, that everybody's, you know, selfish and only about themselves. You know, Derrick has tremendous individual achievements. He doesn't need that. Like you said, he was the youngest MVP in the league history. You know, he was started a couple of All-Star games. He was on, you know, USA Basketball. A guy like, he doesn't need the individual thing. He averaged 27 points or whatever. You know, he did all those things. He just wants to be where the games matter again. And to a real athlete, you know, that's what guys understand, to be in a situation where, you know, you get an opportunity to come out and where everybody's watching and everybody cares and the games are significant. He could have run up points in a lot of places, but that's one of the reasons why he was so excited about going to Cleveland.
Sam, is he book worthy? Are we going to get the Rose rules?
He is book worthy. You know, that would be a great story. I mean, a friend of mine said that to me a couple of years ago when he got the first ACL. I said, what a great story that would be to, you know, hear. But, you know, I think he did it in a video. So, you know, I'm still writing and reading long stuff, and nobody else is. So my guess is if there is something like that, it's going to be on TV or actually on your phone, yeah, as opposed to where I find information.
Sam Smith, Bulls.com. The book is Hard Labor, and a little conversation with Derrick Rose, who's weighing his future after the latest injury in Cleveland. Sam, we always appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Yes, Harry?
Hey, Kerm, isn't it great to have Sam Smith on and not talk about the current Bulls?
That is true. We did. We succeeded.
Absolutely.
We succeeded.
We couldn't have stretched it out to 10 minutes anyway.
We succeeded. 720 WGN. Well, it's all right. 720 WGN. Thanks for having us on this Saturday afternoon. If you're looking for the Wildcats, they're on AM 890. Dave and Ted on the call. Of course, we're keeping you up to date on everything happening there. 14-7 Northwestern, the lead as they start the second half. Illinois with the football. And if you're wondering what's going on in the Iron Bowl, Auburn just got back in the end zone, and the extra point is good. 20-14, the Tigers over Roll Tide. 3:02 left in the third quarter there. Wisconsin's crushing Minnesota, so the Badgers are going to finish 12-0, 9-0 in the Big Ten. And if you missed earlier today, Ohio State came back and got Michigan 31 20. So the Wolverines finished up the year 8-4, 5-4 in the Big Ten. Ohio State 10-2, 8-1 in the Big Ten, and they'll play Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. Now, we played that song, End of the Line, Tom Petty and Traveling Wilburys, Roy Orbison, Bob Dylan, George Harrison, one of my favorites.
Yeah, Jeff Lynn.
Jeff Lynn, right, absolutely.
Yeah.
John Theory, who was a linebacker slash D lineman for the Bears, 46 years old, and passed away. I guess, Harry, you have friends that know John a little bit?
My friend Mo, Greg Morrissey, was real tight with John Theory. We had John Theory on at remember the ESPN Zone?
Yeah, yeah.
It was on Ontario, and we had Ohio, I think, and he was a real cool guy. He came out of Alcorn State, same college Steve McNair went to, and it was easy to remember his number because he was drafted in 94, and he wore number 94. Really cool guy, very good player, and you're right, they went linebacker, D-lineman with him. He spent 5 years with the Bears. He had 62 tackles, 12 and a half sacks, and played 73 games. And we lost John Theory yesterday. Mo got a text from his wife saying that John was suffering from back pains yesterday evening, and he eventually stopped breathing. The paramedics were unable to revive him, and he passed away in the hospital in Louisiana. They're assuming it's a heart attack, but cause of death at this moment is undetermined. And our condolences of every Bears fan, everybody here at WGN, Carmen and I personally offer our condolences to the Theory family. And it's so weird because Mo just went with John Theory and a couple other guys to Boulder, Colorado, where the Colorado Buffaloes had a special ceremony for Rashan Salaam.
Oh, wow.
Who also recently passed. And I've got a picture, I should tweet this out, of Mo and John Theory at Rashan Salaam's gravesite. It's just bizarre.
He was a physical freak of nature. I mean, John Theory, he could run, he was strong. He was also a Brown. He was a Packer.
Yeah, he was a Brown.
He was an Atlanta Falcon, and I think for anybody, you see 46 years old. That's
way too.
I mean, that's crazy young. So no bueno. But and Brad Bix has a very nice piece, a little write up in the Tribune. If you're looking for,
I would expect nothing less from a Brad Bix.
Absolutely. So the as we'll keep it. With the awkward transition into the NFL and the Bears and the Eagles tomorrow, and no one giving the Bears a chance, and rightfully so, for that matter. They don't have much of a chance, but we'll see what they can do against close to the NFL's best. If not the NFL's best, I probably would pick New Orleans in the NFC and New England ahead of Philly, too. But the Eagles,
you would pick right now your pick for the Super Bowl from the NFC?
Yes, New Orleans.
Really?
They run the ball. Their defense is incredibly solid, and they've got Drew Brees, and they've won what, 8 in a row?
And yes. Just the Eagles have been, the Eagles have done everything they've wanted to. They've won loss all year.
Right, but New Orleans is here. Hang on a second. The Saints have lost 2 games. They were both at the beginning of the season, and they've been killing teams.
Exactly. They have been.
Mark Ingram's been great on the ground. They lost on the road.
Let's not forget Alvin Kamara.
Okay, fine. They've got depth too. Fair enough. They walloped the Bills. That situation in Buffalo. I don't want to get too deep.
That coach made a moronic decision.
Sean McDermott benching Tyrod Taylor for Nathan Peterman, a 5th-round pick, was maybe the most absurd thing I've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
You're in the 6th playoff spot. You're
Buffalo. You haven't made the playoffs since '99.
Yeah. Holosek, the guy I'm wearing the Loyola shirt for, was on that team. That's the game, the Music City Miracle game.
Right.
And shout out to my buddies.
Good job, Harry.
My buddies that are driving out to support him, Duke, go get a Rambler win, and we can do shout-outs on the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
shout away, buddy.
Midnight Marty, J-Dog, Mike D, and Ron Stopp, Heather's husband, win.
One shout-out. Now we're going to get the whole crew
it's
in there.
It's one car.
Once you got to Midnight Marty, I thought you had gone far
enough.
Midnight
Marty's awesome.
Midnight Marty's a dude, huh?
Yeah, walk-on in college. Averaged 21 points a game at Illinois.
No, well, what?
Well, he had 21 points in a pickup game at Illinois.
Okay, I thought you said walk on at Illinois, and he averaged 21 a game.
Lux for three. I did say that. Well, I've, you know, giving him a little thrill. Yeah, hopefully, he's listening.
Enough with Midnight Marty.
But for the coach to start a rookie against the Chargers defense. Now, think about this: the Chargers defense is probably, you know, the best pair of rushing defensive ends. You've got two guys coming off both edges that just eat quarterbacks for lunch, and that's who he decides to give this kid his first start against. Just dumb.
Really dumb. And, yeah, I'm sticking with New Orleans, Harry. Well, okay. I like the Saints.
Carson Wentz, is he your MVP?
Okay. He's been great.
Right now, he's got to be the MVP of the league.
I wouldn't argue with that. I'm still not buying the Eagles, who've never done anything in the playoffs, over a New Orleans team that has one of the top five quarterbacks. Well, I don't want to go that far. Top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
Well, top five. He's when Drew Brees retires, he'll have the most passing yards in the history of the game.
Right, but then you got to factor in when he's playing in the era and all that type of stuff.
Well,
but he's great. They've got Drew Brees. Right. They've got Mark Ingram.
For a guy who's 5 foot nothing.
Right. Boilers are bowl eligible too. I'll take the Saints.
Yes, 8.4% of America thinks the Bears will win straight up.
Well, there you go. The old 8.4%. That's got to be really, really somewhere deep in the South parking lot right there. that's where that's coming out of. I think for me, like, the story tomorrow is, what's Alshon going to do? How many touchdowns is he going to grab against the Bears?
Want to talk about this? How much money did they give Mike Glenn?
$18.5 million this year, over $45 million for 3 years. Obviously, he's not going to be here after this year.
So could you have kept Alshon Jeffrey?
For less money. Yeah. For less money, yeah. So it's brutal. Add in the fact that you're not necessarily trying to win, although it'd be nice if they did, and you are trying to develop a quarterback, giving him Alshon, who, granted, had trouble staying on the field, and if you had better options, I would have been, okay, cool, move on. You didn't have an option that was close to as good as Alshon.
Here's a better question. Can Mike Glennon go out for a pass?
Good idea. Send him out. Let's get some use out of him. All right, let's get a quick time out here. We'll get into news. We're here till 5:30. I think an interesting, really interesting hire in college football today, which speaks to the mindset and some it's a moral issue that I want to ask you about, Harry. Maybe I need to just get past it, but I'm having a hard time with the way that we make our choices as far as college athletics. That's
a good tease.
Yeah, we'll
wonder who it could be.
I wonder who it could be. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
507. Hope you're having a great Saturday. We're looking out on beautiful Michigan Avenue from the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I got to tell you, people are just getting after this shopping, aren't you all? You guys are not taking no for an answer. You are battling the crowds. You are getting what you need. You are getting that weird container that you'll never use that you're going to organize your taxes with, and you're going to get it right now.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about, Harry.
How about Bezos, over $100 billion, the Amazon guy?
Who? Oh, his net worth?
Yes. What? I listen to Bob Kessler. I don't know about you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What was the report, Bob? My bad.
Well, pretty much all the Black Friday sales put him up to the $100 billion.
$100 billion.
Did you say he's getting 50% of the money
Amazon
spent?
Is expected to get 50% of the holiday season sales growth this year.
That's almost half.
Yeah.
50% is very close to half. You're right,
something
Harry.
Something like that.
That makes me think of Brewster's Millions. Remember that?
Yeah, that's Richard Pryor, right?
When he bought the ice.
Richard Pryor was awesome.
That was a great, great, great film. All right,
was that realistic though? Could John Candy play the catcher even in the minor leagues? I don't think he was quite.
I think it's a little bit of a fat bias right there. Why does the fat guy have to be the catcher? Why couldn't the fat guy be the first baseman?
Well, he was the catcher in the movie. I did not write the film. You're saying a fat bias by the writers of the film.
Yeah.
He's the coach of the Jamaican bobsled team in Cool Running.
Where they said, he was busted for cheating because they put weights in the front of the sled.
Let's not spoil it for people that haven't seen it.
Well, not only busted for that, but also violating laws of basic physics. So.
That's true.
Great, great banana bread up there, Bob.
Thank you. Pumpkin bread.
Pumpkin
My mother
bread,
made
right.
one and her friend Barb made the other one.
Thank you. It was delicious.
Well, you probably didn't bring me down a piece because there's nuts in it.
There are no nuts in it, actually.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Man, I love female pumpkin bread.
So flat out not thinking about you, and I apologize.
It's okay.
It's not, and but I did bring you in. Bob brought in the Hershey's with almond. But you didn't really notice it, and you didn't eat it.
My parents left over Halloween candy.
It's sitting next to Chris Bowden up there, who's getting ready to do Blackhawks and Panthers pregame coming up at 5:30. Maybe he'll eat it. All right, here, let's talk about what's going on in college football just for a second.
Yes. And you're not talking about the scores. You're talking about a major hire today by a major university.
Right. UCLA, who hasn't won the Rose Bowl since 1985, is trying to do that and more, I guess, in hiring Chip Kelly to a 5-year, $23.3 million contract. Now, if you don't know who Chip Kelly, if you're not a diehard sports fan, this little history on Chip Kelly. He was the head coach at Oregon from 2009 to 2012, and the Ducks had unprecedented success during that time period. And it ended when the NCAA came calling and sanctions were filed, and what for failure to monitor, which I don't even know what that means, other than the fact that you weren't paying attention.
Looking the other way.
Failure to monitor. I mean, give me a break. It's called allowing whatever needs to happen for me to win, right? And they were accused of paying $25,000 to the 7-on-7 coach in exchange from guiding players to the Ducks, whatever he was doing, however he was getting players. Of course he was dirty. That's what goes on. And so what does Kelly do to avoid the sanctions? Oh, let me just jump to the NFL and be an Eagle and be a 49er and make more money. And now those sanctions are over and he's coming back and UCLA is like, this is the guy that we want, Chip Kelly. Come on, man. Like, you're UCLA in my mind has some level. Maybe I'm dead wrong even to say that, considering
integrity.
They had John Wooden. Of course, Wooden had his guy cheating behind the scenes enormously. Whatever. Take UCLA out of it. You're an institution in college football. There's a lot of people out there that can win you college football games, you would think. But this is the deal. We get super excited when Chip Kelly's coming. That means we really want to win.
Well, it happens all the time.
Right.
And you know, the guy that comes screaming to mind for me is Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll left USC, the arch rival of UCLA. Maybe that's why UCLA hired Chip Kelly. They just wanted to have their own, an equal participant in treachery. But Pete Carroll, coach of the Seahawks, he got there were so many sanctions against USC. USC was near the death penalty. He was getting all these kids paid for jobs they didn't really have to work at. And Pete Carroll escaped by going from the college ranks to the pros. So it happens all the time.
Right. And then you're UCLA, and you know what? We're just going to go slide down right into that mud pond, and we're bringing in a guy that, you know, we've been, they haven't won the Pac-12 since 1998. They haven't won the Rose Bowl since 1985. So enough is enough. Let's go get Chip Kelly. Look, man, I don't have any problem with my university being right in the middle of the pack and somehow jumps up every now and then and does things the right way. Well, I think that's a beautiful way to go about your business.
Is there a college coach that has more time than your football coach at Iowa?
Well, Kirk Ferentz has been there forever. It's him and Fitz in the Big Ten, the longest tenure. By the way, Northwestern up 27-7 now on Illinois. If you want to hear the game, it's on AM 890. They're in the third quarter. And Illinois shouldn't even have the 7 points. Northwestern's going to roll to win number 9. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the only thing that's constantly staying the same is change. There's,
right.
You know, the day you're hired, the only thing you could be sure of is you're going to get fired. And there's very few guys that go out on their own terms, but you know, certain guys can do that. I think that Chip Kelly, you know, first of all, Jim Mora is a really good coach. Jim Mora is a very good coach, and you know, and he got the bums rush. Mike Riley.
That's who UCLA fired, just to follow, if you're not following along at home on that one.
Mike Riley, blown out by the Nebraska Cornhuskers, was, I always thought he was a good coach, but he did terrible at Nebraska.
You can't, I don't, a lot of people said a lot of nice things about Mike Riley. Pat Fitzgerald was very supportive of Mike Riley. I don't think you can do what Mike Riley's done in Nebraska and keep your job.
I agree. I agree. And whether or not you're a good coach, you clearly had lost control of any success that program had. And, of course, under Tom Osborne, that was a legendary football program. So here you got a guy, Chip Kelly, who's known for the hurry-up offense. In the NFL, it didn't work because the defensive players like, what the hell are you doing, man? We had like 44 seconds to rest. Your offense went three and out. We're going back on the field? That's not cool.
Right.
Now, if you're a high school kid and Chip Kelly comes into your living room and says, we're going to have the fastest pace offense, it's going to be like a fast break from a basketball game on a football field, I could see why that would appeal to a lot of kids.
I would love a high school kid to look at him. Hey, are you going to be staying or is the next NFL offer going to come that's and you're going to be jumping out the door? What is the answer to that? Well, I might leave just like every other college coach could leave. And then are we doing things on the up and up, or is there something in that shoebox over there for me?
Well, I don't think anybody asked that question. But as far as asking will you go to the NFL, there's a Nick Saban's maybe the greatest football coach in the history of college football, and he was horrible in the NFL, right? Did bad with the Dolphins. Did pretty bad with the Dolphins. Yeah. He's not going to go back. I mean, he doesn't need to. He makes a gazillion dollars a game, but... Chip Kelly is, you know, this could be his last gig, you know, last place he works. He could be at UCLA for 20 years.
He could. I don't think it'll go that way. But regardless, let me just ask you just a basic question. Let's just say, hypothetically, you're an Illinois fan.
All right.
All right. You just went through a winless Big Ten season, barring a huge miracle today. And I'm assuming that Illinois fans are not listening to Illinois football right now. I'm going to make that leap. Whatever you're, or Indiana or Purdue, who's going bowling? You know anybody? And I could tell you, you can have a Chip Kelly type, or even an whoever you want to throw out there, and your program is going to be doing things that you might not want to hear about, but you're going to start winning more games than you've ever won in your life, or you can continue to be an integrous institution, as much as, you know, colleges are nowadays with, you know, not paying players who are putting, I mean, you just look at the insane crowds out there. To me, I still can't reconcile. There are 100,000 people in that stadium spending $100 a ticket to get in, and all that's going to the university and the coach.
Right, right. 107,000 at Michigan today in the Big House.
It's insane to me.
Yeah, to watch Harbaugh lose again.
You know, back in the day, like, tickets were, you know, I don't know, $20, $15. Yeah. It's not the same now.
I think most people will tell you that they don't want their colleges to give up integrity, but the reality of it is most people would be okay if they went to look the other way state.
Right. I mean, you're a Kansas basketball fan.
They're on the up and up, man.
Oh, yeah.
They're on the up and up. There's no John Calipari.
Oh, please.
There's no
come on.
There's no Rick Pitino.
You really think that KU's on the up and up of basketball?
I do. I think that KU is one of the very few schools that doesn't have to recruit. I think that they reload.
That's because
Tom Izzo.
Oh,
you know, there's nothing wrong with Tom Izzo's program. There's nothing wrong with Coach K's program. What happened?
Really? Do you really think that?
Yeah.
You don't think that they have like the most entrenched way they go about things that people get taken care of?
Well, I'm naive. So it's possible that it's possible, but my opinion is that off the bat, say name two coaches that never cheat, have never cheated. The first two I would say would be Izzo and Coach K. And the reason I say that is because they have these great players coming to them. If you're a school that doesn't have success, that doesn't have these great players calling you, can I come visit? Then you got to, you know, maybe roll up your sleeves and think of how are we going to get these guys in here? How are we going to get this grade average in here?
Why do they go to those schools? It's just because that's where you're...
Because they want to win.
Okay.
Draymond Green was a kind of a jerkish, you know, second-round pick who's had incredible success in the NBA.
Tom Izzo. I don't have any
Zach
proof.
Zach Randolph's another guy Tom Izzo made.
I have no proof of anything. I just feel like they get taken care of it. And I don't have a huge problem. Like, I think the rules should be changed in massive ways. I think they should have money that should be available to them down the line.
Pay the athletes.
yes, there should be an annuity for college athletes that and health care and that type of stuff.
Right. What Ken Coulter was protesting,
right?
He wanted to unionize because if you get hurt and you know your pain lingers on 10 years after you're out of college, the school should pay for that.
Right. Hey, Sunday, just a reminder, it's a holiday matinee on WGN-TV. Leftovers may be gone, Harry, but the Bulls are still hungry.
Yeah, they should be starving.
They're starving.
Just about starving tonight.
Bulls Heat, Sunday at 2 on WGN TV Sports.
Luol Deng back in. No, he's on the Lakers now. He's left the Heat. It's the Heat, right?
It is the Heat. There are no. I have to look, but I don't think there's any former Bulls on the Heat. All right, quick timeout, and we'll get you ready for Blackhawks hockey coming up. 720 WGN.
Kucherov kept it alive, right wing board, Stamkos now from the slot, put it to point beside the net, he shoots and scores. And the Tampa Bay Lightning win this game in overtime. Give an assist to the referee, Gord Dwyer, for that penalty call on Nick Schmaltz.
Yeah, this is just, I'm not complaining. It's a good hockey game, Blackhawks get a point, but this is just a terrible call by the officials in overtime. Ridiculous.
Yes, sir, it was, Troy Murray. Hawks led 2-0 in that one. Couple of goals by Patrick Kane, and they were headed for their third win in a row. Did not work out. See if they can get back on track with the Panthers tonight. Pregame 7 minutes from now. Chris Bowden will have that for you. John and Troy on the call. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynan with 720 WGN. Harry, you had a very traumatic experience on Thanksgiving that you want to share.
Well, we had a great Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And my kids are awesome. My daughter is a junior in high school. She's 16, going on 17. Hey, someone should do a song like that. We played Cards Against Humanity. Have you ever played that game?
I have played Cards Against Humanity. Solid game.
Okay, so you know my friend Spike, formerly heard Harry and Spike right here on this station?
No, Spike Manuel, yes.
Okay, so Spike's got two kids that are both in college, a junior and a sophomore, and my daughter's a junior in high school at Evanston, and they're all like, oh, man, your dad's going to have a rough time with Cards Against Humanity, because like, I don't like it when my daughter cusses. I just don't think that's proper. I said, if you're with your friends, go ahead and cuss. But when you're with adults, you shouldn't be, you know, potty mouth.
Same thing for Reggie, right? This is not a gender thing.
Oh, same thing. And the biggest reason I want her not to be cussing all the time is because Reggie is 12. He looks up to his big sister.
Okay.
So when she's throwing it out there. So Cards Against Humanity, if you've never played it, it's everybody there gets 7 cards and there's a you go around the table and someone throws a card and it's like the question and you have to use one of your cards to best answer it. So it's like, you know, as I get older, the toughest thing for me is when I want to have sex, I have to think of blank, and then everybody plays the card that they think will be the best response to the. For that person who just read the question.
Very uncomfortable for you sitting there with Lucy who's got to answer that question.
Right. Well I mean because the questions are kind of dirty and then a lot of the answers are dirty and
And you're just hanging out with your 15-year-old daughter?
16.
16-year-old daughter.
You know, but I mean I'm in my head, in my heart, I'm still late 20s, early 30s, and I'm a troublemaker. And
10.
Yeah, 10. This many.
At least that's how I feel like we relate. We're on that 10-year-old thing.
But
go ahead.
We are. I played it with her and stuff, but, you know, it's not only weird for me to hear Lucy say it, but I've known Spike's kids since they were born. You know, and his daughter is like this beautiful young lady and, you know, and she's saying things that like you normally you'd have to pay a woman on the street, you know, big money to say those things.
You know what I recommend for you, Harry?
Huh?
Boggle. Go back to Boggle.
I love Boggle.
Why don't you just do a little Boggle? Get into Trivial Pursuit. This is not the game for you.
Hey, Facts and Five, Trivial Pursuit.
Right.
There's so many of them. Uno.
Bust out a Monopoly.
Well, they made Monopoly jokes at my expense. Like, sorry, we don't have a Monopoly board anymore.
Oh, boy. Well, that's a little rough.
Yeah.
So, okay. I just don't think, you know, hearing this story, that's just not a good spot for you.
With
your kids.
I'm happy to try it. I'd rather they ask me and I get to play it than have them say later, well, we would have asked you, but we knew you wouldn't want to do it.
You think that Lucy was uncomfortable playing with you?
No, I think she was dying. I think she was laughing her butt off. She wouldn't have said butt.
Oh.
She would have said something different right
there. So she wants her dad to know that Lucy is a more mature Lucy and she can play in the big boy pool, so to speak.
She doesn't understand why I make such a big deal out of her saying certain words.
Right.
You know, like I told her, you shouldn't use that word. Don't use the P word. She's like, I can't believe you called it the P word. And don't try to figure it out.
I'm not trying to figure it out. Right. I have an idea. I'm not going to. I think we all have an idea.
Yes, but fun being with you. I'm sorry your car got taken. And thanks to Dan Long, executively producing the show.
Thanks
today.
To Dan Long producing the show. Thanks to Sam Smith, Bulls.com, for jumping on again. If you're wondering where Northwestern football is, they're on AM 890, 28-7. Wildcats coming up on the end of the third quarter. Blackhawks hockey is next here. The Hawks and the Florida Panthers. Don't forget, Hampton will be with Kaz 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon after the Bears and the Eagles with you till 6, full show.
You have a great show tomorrow after the upset.
All right. Hope it happens, man. Never know, never say die. Bears.
Bears.
28, Eagles 27 in a thriller. 720 WGN.